Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, final hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 97.5.com. Nick Sciarra with you, filling in for the very hurt Joel Blank. For those of you who have not tuned into the show the past 2 days, Joel is recovering right now. He's a bit hurt, a bit injured. We're wishing a speedy recovery, and hopefully he'll be back on Monday. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Hey, guys, don't know if you covered it yet, but what did y'all think of the UH players' Twitter rant last night? We have it on the rundown. We have not talked about it, so if you're just tuning in, it's actually a good time. It's actually a really good time. So,
sorry about that. I was, Tosh brought her kid by.
Yes, we saw her in the first hour.
Yeah.
We haven't seen her since.
And that
how
is the
doing?
Cutest little munchkin.
Oh yeah.
Oh, he's a cutie.
Well, he's got NBA genes in him, right?
He's got European basketball genes.
That's good, right? That's.
Yeah, I don't think he plays in the NBA. I think he plays overseas.
No. I gave him a little too much credit.
Yeah.
Then.
But well, you know what? He's got good athletic genes, right?
Yeah.
And Tosh is a sweetie. It was good to see her.
Yeah.
Esme had the baby, and then she started to like extend the baby to me.
You're like,
and
nah.
I was like, nah, I don't want to break that thing.
Yeah.
I don't like holding babies.
I'm nervous.
Babies
about
are the,
that.
The best. They're the cutest. They smell great. I love like the way the little baby's head smells for some reason. That and puppy breath. It's just like those are the two things that are cool. But I don't want to hold babies.
No, I don't either. I
that's,
they're just they're too
me.
Fragile. I just no. I don't. Yeah, it scares me.
But it was good to see her. Good to see the baby, and glad that mommy and baby are doing well.
Yeah, many of you may have seen her at some of the remotes. She was a part of the promotions team.
Yeah,
she was.
I don't
fun.
Know what she's doing now besides just popping out babies. I have no idea. Yeah, that was good to see her. So that's why I was a little late getting back. I'm sorry. Okay. We got to do this. I'm just going to do this on the fly. This thing is broke. I hate so much.
Yeah.
Aaron, I'm glad you asked because he said to go. What Twitter did he say go look at? I can't hear you. You're okay. Well, apparently there's a shakeup going on over at 610.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, this is perfect timing.
Yeah. Everybody, you can go look at Rick Kamla's Twitter. 47 minutes ago, I want to thank everyone in Sports Radio 610. I'm grateful for the opportunity in Houston, and I wish them all the best. I am excited about an expanded role with SiriusXM NBA and SiriusXM Fantasy, with more details to come next week.
Does that mean he's leaving, or is he...
The camel juice is dried up in Houston, folks. What happened?
I don't know. That was quick.
Oh, camel juice. We hardly knew you, buddy. When did he get here? If I scroll back through his timeline, how long ago was it that they announced the Camel Juice and the Baytown Badass?
I want to say 4 months.
You were here, Aaron.
4 months ago?
July, I think.
Was it July?
Because I had to track it down because somebody had tweeted at one point that AJ hadn't done it in a couple months. He was like, yeah, you know.
How long ago was it?
Yeah.
What did we set the over-under at for that show? Do we remember? Did anybody?
Did we set an over-under?
I mean, I feel like that's something that we would do. That,
yeah, we are bold.
Like, I'm saying as a station.
No, we would do it. The suspects would do it. The station would do it.
I feel like somebody set an over-under. July, August.
I personally said 6 months because that's usually the window they'll give
you
shows.
You were the one that said, weren't you the one that said that was a setup show?
Yep.
Well, you were, and like, a lot of times what they'll do is they'll bring in a show that's really bad so that they can let them go and bring in another show and then make that show look like a hero.
Yeah, and I sat down with Tepper in Denver a couple weeks ago and I told him that, and he goes, yeah, I really, yeah, that could happen.
Well,
this is going to be
interesting.
He also
goes, 3 months. I think I'm going to do that next time I need to.
3 months, and Camel Juice is no more.
Yeah, I can't wait for AJ's segment now. Is he gonna go off in the first hour, the second hour? Do you think he's going to be professional this
time? I was
going
to try to do the Baytown Badass, but in my head, as I started to do it, I realized it sounded more like Joel's John McClane. Guys, it's the Baytown Badass. That's John McClane more than it is the Baytown Badass.
It does
Badass.
Sound like McClane.
I have to do impressions that come natural to me. John McClane, the Baytown Badass, neither one of those. I'm going to have to leave that to AJ to do it. But apparently, yeah, I went in to talk to him about something, and he goes, did you hear the news? I said, no, what happened? No more Camel Juice.
What?
No, he didn't say that. He just goes, listen. I've said no more Camel Juice.
Yeah.
But he turned up the feed, and he goes, who's bringing them back? And it was the Baytown Badass. Mr. Coleman Milk himself bringing the show back. So I was like, well,
that's interesting.
I'll be damned. 3 months. Now the question becomes, as the world turns, dun, 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 did he leave? Is that your phone?
My bad.
Come on, man.
I'm still new at this. You know me.
Guys, it's your first week?
I'm so distracted.
Was this a decision that the Camel Juice made?
Right.
Or was he ousted? I wonder if there was a rift between, you know, the Baytown Badass and the Camel Juice. And they was like, you got to choose. It's one or the other.
I want to know the details if that's the truth, right? We want to know.
I
want to know that they punched each other in the studio and they cursed each other out. I want to know all those details.
I do too. And maybe it was just like, hey, I got a better opportunity.
It could be that way. I don't know what the situation is. It is kind of surprising. I know, AJ.
3 months.
AJ isn't the biggest fan, but, you know, it's still just 3 months in the middle of the football season. But
right.
It is what it is. They made a decision.
AJ just tweeted, at first, I was saddened that Kamala was leaving 610. Because it was so obvious how bad a fit he was from day one. Now I'm hearing they're just going to put an entire football team in the room and let them be their afternoon show, and I am no longer sad. AJ.
He wasn't going to let up.
Hey, Aaron, since we're just on the topic of AJ and Twitter, I didn't get a chance to ask him. Is he in there? Oh, AJ, grab the mic. I want to hear this. I want to know because I didn't. I know I'm putting you on the spot. You do this to me all the time. I mean, when I'm out there, you're like, "Hey, get on there so I can make fun of you for 3 minutes."
I'm doing real work right now.
Oh, real work! You're in there listening to the Baytown Badass bring the show home.
Oh, I was doing that.
What happened on Twitter where you had to block a guy? I'm so curious about this. There was a guy. Was he take? What was
I blocked two guys in the last 2 days.
Are you just not? You're not. You can't take it or what?
Yeah, I'm just done. I'm done dealing with it. I don't have time to argue with people anymore. Like there was a guy who, I was like, okay, it was obvious it was going to be Yankees, Astros all along. We finally got to it. We could have just fast forwarded the last 120 games of the regular season. The guy was like, well, why were you? Yeah, right. You were telling people to get on Tampa plus 250 last night, and I was like, well, let me teach you a little thing about value in numbers. And like, the guy's just a moron and doesn't understand, you know, basic math. And he made it personal, so I blocked him.
How many? I meant to ask you this yesterday when you were all, but how many people have you blocked on Twitter?
Probably 20.
20?
Yeah, probably something like
okay.
that.
Okay. And then most of it is listeners or just trolls or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, then another guy, like, the guy before that literally admitted all he was doing, I was just trolling to see if I can get you charged up.
I hate that.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
Like a guy with 19 followers trying to get someone charged up so it makes him feel good about himself.
God. And then you feel like a sucker when you're charged up. You're like, oh, I just fell for this.
I do. And then when I also have I'm torn emotionally on if I really want to block them. Because I know as soon as I blocked it, and I called it on Twitter, and I was right.
Somebody screenshotted it for you?
Yeah.
I saw. That's when I knew. I was like, what is going on? Because that's the only tweet I saw. I was like,
that's what happens. Inevitably, the guy's like, ha ha, look at this. And
I was rule.
Triggered. He's so easily triggered. Snowflake. He blocked me. Yeah, that's what, I was like, oh, I'm also a snowflake. What, you know, what other stuff do you got for me?
Yeah.
And yeah, of course, he said, Fred, tell AJ he's a little bitch.
No.
And I said, it's either I'm going to be called a bitch, a woman, or a snowflake.
Of course.
And it was bitch.
Oh.
And it's because I called him out for being, like, the guy started talking smack to me, so I gave, like, a quick glance at his timeline. All he does is
troll.
Go after people, like, and say, you're an idiot. It's like my 7-year-old has Twitter. You're a moron. You're an idiot. Or he talks to women and says, oh, you're disgusting. You're hideous. Or he says, you have great boobs.
Oh, he's I bet he uses the word toots, right? But he doesn't know that he's not supposed to use the word toots. Oh, yeah. Like, he thinks it's okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the worst.
He's likely a serial killer in the making, is my guess.
Well, he's okay in my book, then. He's trying to get killed.
Like, I can get dates whenever I want. I was like, it's because no woman wants to keep you. I said, yeah, I bet the first date for you is really easy to get. It's that second date. Once they meet you,
it's over.
They ain't coming back. And then the other thing, he randomly throws out, I make more money than you.
Oh. Those guys are the worst.
And I just said, yeah, well, I make a really comfortable living.
Yeah.
So if that's true, congratulations. Now take some of that money and use it on therapy. And
weirdo.
Yeah, and then I just blocked
stop him. Stop stashing that. Women's skin in your basement and making dolls out of them.
He probably follows you. He's your guy.
I feel like
that's the kind of guy.
But you know what? I feel like I've run into that guy because there was somebody that was trolling me that was doing that. You're a dumbass. And I was like, who is this guy? I'm like, 19 followers? I swear I remember the number 19. Yeah. Probably the same guy.
It's Joel's burner account.
He said it, not me, buddy. All right, we got a lot more to get to. 3:30, we're going to have Sarah Barshop. We'll talk some Texans. We'll also talk some college football. Finally, a good week of good games. I know the rest of you can suck it. You don't think that I'm right on this. I'm telling you, it's been a bad year for college football, but we'll break down this UT-Oklahoma game, talk a little bit about that. I don't even think that's game of the week. I think around here it's important. I think that game of the week is that Florida-LSU game. That is definitely game of the week.
No, but I think a lot of people would agree with that. I'm obviously going to look forward to the Alabama-Texas A&M game just because I want to see what Jimbo Fisher could do against this Alabama team, but I just want to see it. Whether it's a bad performance or not, I still want to see
it. It's going to be ugly. All right, we'll do that and a whole lot more after this. This is Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I was at a casino hotel one time, and they had a sign in there, had a list of everything you could steal and how much it cost, right? That way, if you want to steal it, they'll just charge it right to your account. I guess to keep you from stealing, right? But they had an ironing board on there for like $20. I was like, that seems like a pretty good deal to me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't buy a lot of ironing boards, so I don't know. But $20 seems cheap, right? Plus, who's bold enough to steal an ironing board from a hotel? Like, a towel I get. You can put that in your bag. But an ironing board, that's bold, right? You're at checkout, like, nah, I had this when I came in. Yeah, it does look a lot like yours, but I always carry an ironing board with me. Good thing, because there's not one in that room.
Dusty Slay, our comedian of the week here on The Usual Suspects. I'm glad Aaron found that clip. That's one that I wanted to play. I love that bit.
You were talking about it earlier in the show.
Oh, it lives up to the hype. And he does another bit about lamps with plugs on them in hotel rooms and USB plugs. it's just, you got to go see him. Do yourself a favor, man. Go take the wife, the spouse, the husband, whatever. Go see Dusty Slay this weekend at the Houston Improv. Improv Texas or ImprovTX.com.
Yeah, yeah, as a matter of fact, someone on the text line already, you know, he heard Dusty on the air with us.
Uh-huh.
And he just bought two tickets for tonight, so.
Dope. Go do it. He's here through the 13th.
You should do the same.
I'm going to be at the Sunday show, so if you want to hang out and do that thing and then come out on Sunday. But grab some tickets and go support him. He's a very funny man and great dude off stage, just like on. So
I'm a big fan of the two-week notice bit. I thought that was hilarious.
This is very true, too, right?
So true. I wouldn't care either.
Hell no. That's
coming in late, leaving early.
There is no 2 week notice in radio, though, right?
I don't think so.
I don't think they trust. Like, if I were to like go to AJ and be like, "Hey, bud, I got a gig with NBA TV," like Camel Juice did, and then I'm out. If I said I'm gonna turn in my 2 weeks notice, AJ would be like, "Get out! You're not trusting you in the air for two more weeks to say bad things.
Yeah, well, you don't
care anymore."
Obviously, it depends on the dynamic. So, like, if Camel Juice is not happy with his boss, I can see him not
just quitting
that window of opportunity.
Rarely do you get fired and get a 2 week notice in radio.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's maybe an amicable parting of the ways where it's like in Jerome's case. Jerome wasn't fired. Jerome was like, "Hey, I'm going to go focus on writing."
Yeah.
And so this will be my last day. And they were like, "All right, cool." And then that's kind of, I think, how it went down. Yeah. A lot of times, if you get fired in radio, it's like, a lot of times they'll fire you after the show. They'll wait and they'll be like, "All right, hey, that was a great show. Get the hell out. You suck and we don't want you anymore and we're tired of hearing your voice." And that's usually, yeah, there's no 2 weeks notices in this business.
No.
Rarely.
So a little bit of a shakeup on the other side, but that's okay.
Yeah, it happens, man. That is this business. Well, I joke a lot and I think we all do, but it does suck. I would never want to see anybody be unemployed. I know AJ's different. He's like, "Yeah, they're the competition. I hope all those guys get fired." When you hang out like I said last night, hanging out with Matt Thomas, it's cool to meet other people in this market and realize that there are some turds in this market.
Oh, for sure.
There are
turds.
There's plenty. And there are turds that still have a job.
Absolutely.
I won't mention any names.
I won't either.
They know who they are. I think the listeners know who they are. But there are a bunch of great dudes like the Matt Thomases of the world that you love to hang out with and get to know and you wish nothing but the best for. So,
are you talking about turds who are grown men who wear jerseys at baseball games? Are you talking about that?
That could be. That might like be a
three-digit number on the back jersey? Is that who?
Okay. Yeah, that might curious. Be. Yeah, I'm not going to. I'll let you go down that path.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Guys, you ain't weirdo. Scared.
By the way, Aaron found out the show, the what was it called?
Clinton Camla.
Clinton Camla was announced July 18th. The first show was July 22nd. October 11th, it is no more.
Is that the most like Russian sounding show name
Clinton
ever? Like
Camla.
Like PM Sports Drive Talk, PM Drive Sports Talk Show.
I don't feel like there was much, like, when they were getting it together, there was a lot of discussions, but names wasn't really on the agenda. It was like they sat down and they were like, "All right, here we go. First show. Oh, hey, what are we calling this?" Like, that was the last thing that they thought. "I don't know. Go with Clint and Camla."
Yeah.
Why is my first name and your last name? "I don't know the k-k sound. We'll just go with that." "I don't know what else to do." Ours actually, the usual suspects came about when we were doing that trial period, that weird
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, the audition. It was basically a competition between you and Travis Johnson.
Yeah,
right?
He was doing Mondays and Fridays. I was doing Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And towards the end of that, when they were making a decision, at one point Joel said on air, "You know, welcome back to the show. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel, the usual suspects."
He did. That's, I remember that. Yeah,
that's exactly what he said. And in my mind, I thought, if I get the gig, if they choose me, then that's going to be my recommendation for the show name, is what he just said, which was the usual stuff. So like most things, it was teamwork.
It was derived from something
he said. I thought, "Oh, that would be a cool name for this show." And here we are. We made it further than 3 months. Not saying we'll make it the rest of the week. It's Friday. We might get fired before 4 o'clock, but I'm proud to announce we made it more than 3 months, especially when we consider all the fighting Joel and I did early on.
Oh, it's amazing. All the fighting all three of us did.
Oh,
are you kidding
God,
me?
We hate each other a lot of
you
times.
Kidding me?
And we're still here. It's amazing. Sometimes, you know what? You don't have to get along to make good radio.
No,
right?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily.
All right, if I made you pick one college football game to watch, if I made y'all choose, which one are you picking to watch this weekend? Is it going to be number 6 OU versus number 11 UT in a neutral field up there in Dallas? It's really not that neutral, but I mean, I guess it is. It's about equal distance for both of them.
Yeah.
Is it going to be Bama versus number 24 Texas A&M? Is it number 7 Florida on the road against number 5 LSU? Or is it the one nobody cares about down here, number 10 Penn State versus number 17 Iowa? What's the one college football game you have to watch this weekend?
I mean, I think Florida and LSU is the game to watch, but if I had to choose, I want to see what Texas does against Oklahoma. Okay. Considering they're a one-loss team, it obviously has some implications on the national title. Neither one of them can really afford a loss, especially Texas. So I would probably say Oklahoma, Texas. That's okay. Just me.
All right. Aaron, what's your choice?
Texas OU.
You're going to Texas OU?
Yeah, I'm supposed to go to the game.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to watch it no matter. I haven't missed watching that game, I don't think, in 17 years now.
Are you a UT guy?
Yeah.
Okay, now, are you a graduate, or did you just grow up as a fan?
I got as close as San Antonio, and then...
You went to UT San Antonio?
Yeah. I didn't even graduate there.
See, I grew up a lifelong Aggie fan. The only time I was ever even near an Aggie campus was when I went and watched the game with my sister. But I just, you know...
But it's so common. It's such a common thing. I mean...
I try to be very specific, though, because people get upset... And they go, well, you can't say you're an Aggie if you didn't go. I say I'm a fan. I grew up a fan. My dad introduced me to it. I hate him to this day for it because there are a lot of better college football programs I could have been rooting for over the years. But I love my Aggies, and I'm a diehard, and no matter what happens. But I always make sure people know I didn't go to the school.
Yeah, I mean.
That's why I don't say we.
Yeah, right.
Like, I mean, Joel says we about Wisconsin, and we give him a hard time, but I get that. If you went to U of H, you say we right. about U of H, I get that.
And Joel went to Wisconsin, right?
Yeah.
So,
well, rugby, lacrosse, or whatever
you call it. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
He's like, no, it's an affiliate. I'm like, that's like saying you go to A&M Corpus Christi. That's not the same. settle down.
We do pick on him about that a lot. Yeah. I mean, look, I can see that happening. A guy that I used to work with, I've told you before, Mike Pearson, he grew up in California, never went to USC. He's probably the biggest SC fan that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it happens. The thing is that college, and a lot of people will say it's easier to become a fan of college football than NFL, believe it or not. I personally have always been more drawn to the NFL, but it's a massive sport, college football. It's a big sport.
Well, that's why people got mad at me yesterday or day before when we were talking about it from saying that I thought it was a down year for good games. Shut up, man. There's plenty of good. Well, this week there absolutely is. I think if I was going to sit down and watch one, I'm surprised that it's the second highest spread between LSU and Florida. But I know how dominant LSU has looked and how they've been. I feel like Florida's defense has been just as dominant when you look at all these teams that are playing. There's only two teams on this schedule that are allowing less points, but when you look at who they're playing, you can't really go by that. But the fact that Florida's not allowing it even 10 points a game, something's got to give. Is it going to be that LSU offense? Is it going to be this Florida defense? There's a lot of NFL talent on that Florida defense. The spread is 13.5. That seemed awful high for me.
Yeah. I mean, look, the LSU quarterback said, you know, that this is without a doubt the best defense they're going to face.
Oh,
and it's not even close. So he's aware of that situation. At least, you know, for them, this is an opportunity to prove themselves. We can obviously talk about more about it on the other side, but
Florida had their test with number 7 Auburn, last week. And, you know, LSU had their one big test against Texas. Week 2, I think, when Texas was ranked number 9.
Yeah.
So they've both had a tough game already on their schedule. Both of them did well in those games. This is going to be, I think this could be one of the better games we see all year. And I know a lot of people think SEC football can be boring because it's so difficult. They're so difficult defensively. But again, it's a different LSU offense. Both of these teams can get after you on the defensive side of the ball. I think it'll be a fun game to watch, which is kind of something we don't. I mean, you expect OU Texas to be a shootout. You expect you expect a Big 12 style game like that to be in the 50s. It's very possible that this LSU Florida game could do the same, at least from the LSU perspective.
That kind of has been the storyline. I mean, when Joe Burrow was asked about the offense and how evolved it was, he was like, "How long do you got?" There's without a doubt a completely different offense. So they know that they're playing a really good defense, but they also have a completely different situation. A lot of times at the line of scrimmage, he has multiple throwing targets. Running backs are starting to be included, and they're being targeted as well. That's something that Florida is going to have to prepare for against LSU, and it's something they haven't had to prepare for in the past. I think that's going to be a huge game.
All right, guys, joining us right after the break is going to be Sarah Barshop. We'll talk some Texans with her, and then we'll get back after it with some more college football. But before then, I want to tell you, I am so pumped about this. It's tomorrow. I'm excited. Zero Latency's grand opening. If you don't know what Zero Latency is, it's virtual reality where you're involved. You're actually in the game. It's this big warehouse. You put on a backpack. You put on a headphones. You put on goggles. You walk around killing zombies, and you know, teamwork makes the dream work. It's a lot of fun. If you're a gamer, if you like games, you're going to love this virtual reality experience right there at Zero Latency. The first of its kind in the city of Houston. I promise you, you've never done anything like this. It's absolutely amazing. Great way for parents to connect with your kids. If you see them playing games and you want to get involved with it and have some fun with them, do that. They've got birthday parties. They got team parties. They have weekend family meetups and reunions. They've got all these different rooms that you can put together your team and hang out and then go out there on the court or on the, I guess it's called a court, and fight zombies together. There's a video at Barry is Funny. Go check it out. AJ and I were out there killing zombies together. Had an absolute blast. Trey joined us. Could not have been more fun and so easy to get to. Off of I-10, just past the Beltway, you turn at Derry Ashford. It's right there near the Whataburger. Zombie Survival Game, Ingenierium, Outbreak Origins. All of these are a blast. You're going to love it. Use the promo code ESPNGO when you sign up online. You're going to get $5 off to come join me tomorrow at the grand opening. That's October 12th. I'm there from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Come hang out. It's October 12th. That's tomorrow. ESPNGO saves you $5. ZOHouston.com. Go sign up.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey guys, don't forget, join me and Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey out at Lucky's Pub in Edo this Sunday from 1:30 to 3:30. I'll be out there hanging out. Tullamore Dew is giving away samples and some swag to the listeners who stop by. So come hang out, catch the game, grab some Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey with me this Sunday. It's 1:30 to 3:30 at Lucky's Pub. It's going to be a blast. Come hang out. Let's have some fun. Drink some whiskey. That's going to be good. Hey, joining us right now on the show, as she does every Friday at 3:30, to talk about your Houston Texans, ESPN's own Sarah Barshop. Sarah, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Great to talk to you after the Astros, you know, rudely interrupted our weekly segment last Friday.
Yeah, I know. And let's get to that because we got a lot of ground to make up since we didn't have you on last week. Thoughts on that Falcons game and how this team played?
I think this is probably best case scenario for this offense, obviously. Deshaun Watson, that had to be the best game of his career. And it reminded me a lot of that Seattle game where we saw him and Russell Wilson, his rookie year, just kind of trading touchdowns. It was a lot of fun to watch, and it kind of gives you an idea of, even without Kenny Stills, just how dangerous this offense can be. I do think you have to take it with a grain of salt. Of course, it was against the Falcons, who I believe are now 1-4. So, you know, that's not what you expect every week, but certainly it shows you just how good they can be.
We're speaking with Sarah Barshop here on ESPN 97.5. So what is the overall feel going against a team like the Kansas City Chiefs, despite coming off that loss against the Colts? How confident is this team going into Kansas City?
They're confident, you know, but as you would expect them to be against any team, you know, they, especially after the offense they put up last week, they feel like they can hang with any team. I will say, I talked to a couple guys who said the Chiefs are such a good team, but maybe they catch them at the right time, right? Like, maybe if Mahomes is still a very good quarterback, but if he's dealing with the ankle injury and if Tyreek Hill or Sammy Watkins don't play, obviously that helps the Texans. So the Texans feel confident, but I do think they feel that way every week too.
A lot of people talk about the moves in the offseason, one of those being Tashaun Gibson getting added to this team, and our Fred Fowler from the Blitz was one of the ones leading the charge saying, look, the Texans have struggled with covering the tight end, and this is why the Texans went out and got Gibson, was to for games like this against a tight end like Travis Kelce. How do you think that this Texans defense, who, and Kelce has been a Texans killer for his career, how do you think they hold up? Is this, have they finally figured this out? Are they going to be able to hold him down? I mean, you're not going to stop him. Are they going to be able to contain him as bad as that secondary has been?
Right. Like you said, they're not going to stop him. Bill O'Brien even was asked that same question this week, and he said, I think he was like, oh, well, he's a total game changer. You know, he's one of the best in the league. So I think they'll play against him better than they have tight ends in the past, but I still think with Mahomes throwing the ball, any receiver or tight end they have is going to be a threat, and I think especially Kelce is so good.
So how much does your perspective of this game change in the event that Tyreek Hill plays?
I think a lot, just because of, like you said, the secondary has struggled. That's the part of the team that you maybe don't feel the best about. And I saw Jonathan Joseph was added to the injury report today with a hamstring injury. He's listed as questionable. Wouldn't surprise me if he played. But I think the secondary is probably the way that if you take away one of their best receivers, that gives the Texans a huge advantage.
Yeah, last week Texans had some success running the ball against that Falcons defense. Carlos Hyde had 60 yards rushing. Duke Johnson had another 59 in the run game alone. Take out Deshaun Watson's 47. I mean, I know they still count, but you know, 120 yards between your two running backs. This is a Chiefs team giving up 155. I said I felt like that was going to be one of the keys, is being able to run the ball and establishing that dominance up front against that Chiefs front seven. What say you about their ability to run the football against the Chiefs?
I totally agree. I think that's something, yes, Deshaun Watson can throw the ball, and they showed last week that he's very good at it, but I'm sure the Texans saw what the Colts did against the Chiefs and what teams have done to the Chiefs' run defense this year and feel pretty good about the duo they have. Now, I talked to Carlos Hyde this week, and he said he was kind of joking, but he said this game is a little personal because he obviously spent the off season in Kansas City, and he told us that it wasn't Andy Reid or the GM who told him that he was traded. It was someone he doesn't even know who it was. He still doesn't know. So I think he said he's a little more amped up for this game, and so I think that on top of how the Chiefs defense has done against the run this year, I think this could be a big game for Carlos Hyde.
I saw a headline on ESPN that you wrote where it said, what separates Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes? One huge stat. Now, I will admit I didn't have a chance to click on the article and read it. I think I have an idea of what that stat might be. You want to clue in the listeners as to what the point of the article was?
Yeah, so Deshaun was telling us that he thinks he and Mahomes are pretty similar. But one of the ways they're vastly different is how they were protected. Deshaun Watson was sacked 62 times last year. Patrick Mahomes was sacked 26 times. It's crazy. That's the fourth best protection in the league. Now, I'm not saying that Watson is better if he's in the Chiefs system or Mahomes is not as good if he's in Houston. We don't know that. But certainly it doesn't hurt to have all the time in the world to throw, which Deshaun saw. Even he wasn't sacked for only the second time in his career last week, and we saw what he did with that time to throw.
We can't forget the performance that Will Fuller had in that game. I mean, how is he feeling? How does the team feel? What do you expect from him on the field from an offensive standpoint?
He said that he feels better as we go through the weeks. He said his knee still gets a little stiff. I mean, I think some people forget that he's coming off an ACL surgery, and he tore it in October 26th, I think. So we're still not even a year removed from that. So he said as he gets more time, he feels a little bit better. Now, I don't know that we'll see what we saw last week, only because I think teams are going to realize they can't just double Hopkins because Will Fuller will make them pay. And give Deshaun Watson throwing the football, they can make a lot of guys pay, regardless if he's throwing out. But especially when you have someone as fast as Will Fuller who can get behind safeties, and he had 3 touchdowns. So I think we'll see maybe more, a bigger game from Hopkins, because teams will realize they can't just double him, and maybe Will Fuller will come back down to earth a little bit because of that.
I don't know if you saw it, Sarah. Last week after the game, there was a picture of Deshaun Watson He was sitting with Jalen Ramsey here in Houston, and I know a lot was made about that. I don't know. Has anybody asked about that picture? Has anybody brought up the fact that are they still looking for secondary help, and are they going to go out and try to make a move?
No, no one asked about that. It wouldn't surprise me when they've been trading guys out, but the Jaguars are certainly not going to trade Ramsey inside the division to the Texans. But I will admit, when I saw that after the game, I was driving back from NRG, and one of the other reporters called me and asked me if I'd seen it. And we quickly found out that Ramsey was in Houston to see a back specialist, but at the time, I was like, what is going on? Like, there's no way the Jaguars are going to make this trade, but this is pretty crazy because it certainly is right now, you know, because Deshaun was wearing the same clothes he had when we talked to him after the game.
Yeah, and you know what? At first, I thought it was Photoshopped. I'm not going to lie. I was like, ah, that's fake. That's got to be fake. But they had the Cowboy game in the back, and I was like, look, I'm good at Photoshop. I could make that look real, too, all right? But I think the part that maybe, you know, I thought, oh, well, isn't the first time that Ramsey has had comments about the Texans. I think, remember, at the beginning of the year, he's like, oh, all the stars are going to play in Houston or something like that. He put the, you know, the emoji eyes and all that. So it's not like he hasn't commented on this team before. Obviously, the Jags aren't stupid enough to move him within the division, and obviously, the Texans don't have enough resources. But to pull off a trade like that, but it makes you wonder down the road if you might not see something like that happen in free agency.
Oh, absolutely! I've actually had that conversation with a couple of people, and Ramsey's made it clear that he'd be interested in playing here. He's talked how good Hopkins is. I know Hopkins really respects him. So, yeah, absolutely. When he's a free agent, it wouldn't surprise me if the Texans were interested and he was interested in coming here.
All right, we're speaking with Sarah Barshop here on ESPN 97.5. Before we let you go, what is your pick? What do you expect from this game? Do you have a score if you have one?
I picked the Chiefs to win, I believe. I think I picked 38-31 or something like that. I mean, to me, what would be fun to watch is just to watch Mahomes and Watson go back and forth, trade touchdowns. I think I've been told by multiple players that Arrowhead is a really loud place to play, and that will make it challenging for the Texans. And I think Mahomes is just so good, and we've seen this how this Texans secondary has played this year. So I'll give the edge to the Chiefs, but I think it should be a fun one on Sunday.
No surprise, the over-under 55.5 before we let you go. Largest over-under this week, well, when I put this together. You taking the over or the under in that? You said 38-31, so it sounds like you're going way over, huh?
I'm picking the over, and maybe that's just because that's exactly what I want to see. I want to see a lot of offense.
I'm with you on that. I want to have some fun. Sarah Barshop, ESPN. Sarah, how can the folks get a hold of you on Twitter?
At Sarah Barshop on Twitter.
There you go. Sarah, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
All right, Sarah Barshop, ESPN beat writer for ESPN.com, at Sarah Barshop on Twitter. Hit her up if you have Texans questions. She'll be happy to answer them. All right, we'll be back right after this. One segment to go in the big show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Bad things. It's a lot of bad things.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Ron White is going to be live at Smart Financial Center in Sugarland Friday, May 15th. Do not miss out on seeing this Grammy-nominated comedian who puts on a hilarious stand-up routine. You have to hear to believe. Guys, get out there and get those tickets. They are on sale now at LiveNation.com. LiveNation.com. I love Ron White. Old Tater Salad. One of my favorite bits of all time in comedy was the old Tater Salad bit.
I saw him at the Verizon Wireless Theater about 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Yeah. So. He's funny. That man makes whiskey. The way he drinks whiskey on stage, I'm like, that made me want to drink whiskey. I was like, he makes whiskey and cigars.
Oh, he makes it very tempting. Yeah.
He makes it look like it's delicious.
It's the best thing ever, yeah.
And I'm like, then I tried it. I was like, ugh, God, what's wrong with wrong?
Love
white?
Me some whiskey.
Ugh, now I'm getting it. And, you know, of course, I had Christopher Hart teach me how to drink whiskey when I did the Whiskey Neat podcast. So,
oh, that's right. Because he's a connoisseur,
he
right?
He taught me the basics. He's like, basically, in so many words, he said, you have to let the whiskey kill your taste buds. I was like, well, this is maybe not my.
Wow.
Yeah, maybe not the thing I need to be doing. But,
yeah.
Nonetheless, hey, somebody texted the show, and we appreciate everybody that reached out. But he said, guys, don't know if y'all covered it, but what did you think of the U of H players' Twitter rant last night? Don't know if you had a chance to see it, but on the Twitterverse, one of U of H's offensive linemen, Justin Murphy,
yeah,
went off on specifically Dana Holgorsen. And his desire, I guess, to tank this season, and so in his words, and not play as seniors, asking them to redshirt, and then bringing everybody back for next year, and trying it all over again because they dug themselves an early hole in the one loss column. First of all, two part question for you: one, do you think they're taking? And two, what are your thoughts on a player going on Twitter on a rant like this, where he basically called out the coach, said that, look, they used us. My body's banged up. I've been cut. And when he let me go, he was a jerk about it.
Yeah, I think they do. I think it's pretty obvious what Dana's trying to do and prepare himself for the future. I think it's, you know, it's pretty obvious that he's doing that. I can kind of see why he's doing that. He wants to put his footprint on the situation. In terms of the player, Justin Murphy, I feel like it's easier for him to make that criticisms considering the situation. There was a total of 25 tweets that I saw posted on the Big Lead of Justin Murphy doing this, and he says he's 23. He has three prior knee surgeries.
Mm-hmm.
He basically had a situation where a doctor said you need to retire. It's a lot easier to come out and be vocal when you kind of know your career is over. And I think that's the situation with Justin Murphy. That's not necessarily a knock on Justin Murphy in any way, shape, or form. I'm just saying he kind of knew his days were numbered. He actually admits that he's been accused of not being committed to the team. Right. These are all in the tweets. So it's easier to come out and be vocal, I feel like, when you have nothing or a lot less to lose in terms of your football career.
One of the parts of the tweet was he likened the redshirting seniors to corporate tax evasion. It's within the rules and within the long-term, but you're getting away with something by bending the rules.
Sure.
And then he said, I would continue to go to work that week, participating in the full-speed contact practices in preparation of the game. However, that Friday I was told to remain off the plane and stay in Houston in order to, quote, heal up mentally and physically, forcibly taking away the one reason why I came to the university in the first place, a suspension that came based on the logic that I was a distraction and not committed to the team. He goes on this long rant. He talks about the money. He talks about the fact that Dana Holgorsen is getting $3.4 million to go along with a $300,000 base. The part that I kind of perked my ears up to a little bit was when he said he went into the office to talk to the coach.
I saw that.
And he said, I'm trying to find where the heck it went. Oh, he said Holgorsen sat at a desk, eyes glued to a monitor. And this is where he said, so I went in to say my piece on the matter and swallow my pride and thank him for the opportunity. He said, Holgorsen sat at his desk, eyes glued to a monitor, and replied with 13 words. Quote, I don't have time to talk. I only have time to coach. And then said, okay, as if it didn't deserve any eye contact or a farewell or a proper handshake. Listen, that sounds catty. You do have these kids that go out there and put their body on the line. I will say this. It's disappointing to read these things, but we have to keep in mind there are two sides to every story.
Sure, sure.
I mean, if this kid's a drama queen kind of already and he's fully admitting it.
I mean, he kind of admits that he's been accused at the very minimum of not being committed. Now, why is he being accused of that? I have no idea. Is it because he's been vocal about how Dana has approached the situation, redshirting the best player on the team? I was talking to AJ about this, and he said this as well. Like, how are you going to stay motivated when your best player on your team has been redshirted? And the big consensus has been there's more to come from this story, that there's more to come out. And sure enough, look, just like you said, two sides to every story. Justin Murphy kind of knows that his career may be coming to an end considering all the surgeries that he's had on his knee. And Dana knows that this player may not be that big of an asset. So maybe he's prioritizing how he's approaching these players by how good you are, which is very common in college football and football in general. So I don't know. Two sides to every story. I'm not mad at him for coming out, but it's easier, I feel like, for someone like Justin Murphy to come out and say this than any other person.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder, you know, you hate to see kids being treated like assets or being treated like they're disposable. But you're right. I mean, that is the nature of football.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, if you can't be on the field, I can't waste my time coddling you. But I mean, being forced to stay home and being kind of asked, you go to all your seniors and say you want a red shirt, we're basically quitting on this season. I don't know. I feel like that's a really bad, I mean, obviously it's a bad look. It's a bad precedent to set for how you handle adversity. You expect these young men to come in and handle adversity early and be winners and fight through. And if you're out there in a game and you're down, you don't give up, you don't quit. You're giving up and quitting. So you're losing the ability to make that motivational speech at halftime when you're down by a couple touchdowns in a game. My response would be, you quit on the entire season by doing that. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, the guy went on, he talked about, like, you know, TV revenue and the fact that despite the team went 1-3 through the first four games, that you know, people still enjoyed it and there was still revenue. I mean, this guy went, I mean, I'll say this, he seems like he's well-spoken from the way he's typing his tweets.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he's bringing out a whole bunch of stuff that's really, really true. Now, if he's going to be labeled as dramatic, sure. I mean, I can see that too, but
it's sad, man. You had a program that was really looking like it was turning things around, and now it just looks like in a matter of months the wheels are coming off. You had a Heisman candidate, you know, that people were talking about, hey, this kid could be in New York on you know, not that he was necessarily going to win it, but he has an outside shot of being in New York. And now wheels are completely off.
Complete 180 for this program.
And they're back to just being an afterthought in college football. And it sucks in a town like Houston. So, all right, you guys enjoy the weekend. Nicholas, thank you for doing this again. Much appreciated. Aaron, thank you for helping out. We wish a speedy recovery to Joel. Hopefully he'll be back on Monday. You guys have a fantastic weekend. And the Blitz is up next right here on ESPN 97.5.
Need a new restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.